Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's have some fun.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
Oh, I love that.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals.
Bingo. How fun.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
The best double play combination in Stark County.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Did it say how fun in that open?
I think it said something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, this ain't going to be fun today.
No, not at all.
I'm not looking forward to this at all.
Yesterday, man, at Jerseys, you were at Centennial Plaza. We were with the Browns backers on Fulton Road jerseys. People were cussing, screaming, left early, didn't want to stick around for the end of that. I mean, it was an absolute ass-whooping by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday.
Something told me at the start of the season. Now, I'm not pushing a panic button yet, but something told me at the start of the season, just don't believe it yet. There's too much hype. Too much talk about Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. Well, and we're going to get to it later on. When we did our Pizza Oven Take 5 contest, my quote, and I wrote it down on the page, the Browns haven't proven they can win a close game with anyone. But as you've been saying for 2 weeks now, they haven't proven they can beat a good team either. And it's evident, and it showed up yesterday.
What the hell was I thinking? Why did I take the Browns and lose in the Take 5?
I'll tell you why.
I took the Browns. Given 3 points, I was an idiot.
I'll tell you exactly why you did it. The betting public is fooled by the lines that come out in Vegas. That's why every time you look at these and you say, oh, they're a 3-point favorite. If this was anywhere else, you know, it's close to even. That team, if they don't get a Hail Mary, gets beat 37-7.
Yeah, I know, right? That's the only way they didn't score the entire second half.
We knew going into that game. And here's another reason. Forget about when you were duped by Vegas, and they still said that even though two starting tackles were out, even though your all-pro running back is out, you're going to look at that and go, well, wait a minute. Vegas still has them as a favorite. Why shouldn't I take them? Kenny, you're not winning in this league with those backup tackles. One of them's a guard, for crying out loud.
Here's where I failed miserably, and I apologize to the gentleman who he didn't pick me. He was stuck with me. So, Trevor, I'm sorry. We knew when we did the contest Thursday, right, that those tackles were hurt. We didn't know for sure both were going to be out, right? And Chubb, we knew, was going to be out. So I should have taken that. I wrote myself a note this morning. Dumbass is what I wrote down.
You are
dumbass.
Correct. You're right.
Browns mass unit, why did you pick Cleveland to win the game? Chubb was hurt. There was a good chance that both Conklin and Wills would be out, and yet myself.
Forget it. Not only that, you already knew that the backup was out. So even if one of those guys played, their backup is still out, man.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to win that game like that. Your quarterback's playing with 1.5 shoulders, and whether or not it's bothering him or not, the fact remains – he just is not that good right now.
JT, I look at Baker Mayfield right now and this is his fourth year, okay? This isn't, you know, first or second year player now. This is his fourth year overall, second straight year with Stefanski. And, yes, he's dinged up. So if it's affecting him, then don't play if you're going to play like you did yesterday. Because they needed him yesterday to be the franchise quarterback, right? You had two tackles out. You had your top running back out. So he had to carry the load offensively. And he showed you, JT, at least to me, he showed you he can't carry a team. He can manage a team when all the pieces parts are there. The two running backs, the best offensive line in the league, a decent wide receiving core. But if you ask him to be the focal point, if you ask him to be the franchise quarterback, I don't think Baker Mayfield is that guy.
Yeah, he's not good enough to overcome everything, including bad coaching. Go for it. I mean, come on these fourth down conversions. Kick the damn field goal. What's wrong with you? I don't care if that game's going to be a shootout or not, which it wasn't, But when you're down there in the red zone like that and you're already trailing 7-0, kick the field goal. Kenny, if they would have gotten the ball back and then scored, instead of being tied at 7, at least it still would have been a 10-7 lead. But instead of that, you're playing catch up the entire game, and it's terrible. And if you're going to go for it, go to your strength. Now you've got no faith in your backup running back in Kareem Hunt that you're going to throw the ball on fourth down. You risk another sack, and of course that's what happened.
JT, I thought the exact same thing. Had they been successful earlier in the season on these plays where you've got confidence, you believe that you can fourth and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, and you've converted these, then fine. Okay, I get it. But you weren't successful quite a bit, right, in the times that you've gone for it in those situations. And you're right. You're down 7-0. You put points on the board against an undefeated team. Okay, I was guilty of that too. I didn't buy that the Cardinals were a legit 5-0 team. I didn't. But Kevin Stefanski, you're down 7-0. They're undefeated, okay? You got a chance to put 3 on the board, cut the lead there. You've got to take the points in that situation. Right. He erred very, very miserably yesterday with that decision.
Yeah, and I'm not just going to sit here and make every excuse in the book and just blame the injury card because everybody's got injuries. Look at the Baltimore Ravens. They're not sitting around crying. They're on their third, maybe fourth running back already. They're down offensive linemen. They're down defensive backs. You don't hear any crying over there. What do? They handle their business. Albeit the schedule makers don't help us out that often. When the Chargers came to Baltimore, they still made it a 1 o'clock game. Where is that right? And if that's a problem as well, what about this? How bad, how terrible is the officiating against this team?
Dude, they don't get any respect from the officials, right? I mean, I don't know if they're looking at those cornerbacks and saying, well, their cornerbacks versus those receivers are the better of the players, so we've got to err on their side, right? As opposed to saying, man, we've got to respect the Browns' defensive backs, man. Yes, there were some bad calls, but you got to be in better position then not to put the officials in that situation to have to debate whether it's a pass interference or not.
Dumb this game down, man. Do something easier for the defense so they're not out of position. Again, it rears its ugly head, and their wide receivers running unopposed in the secondary of the Browns for these touchdown passes. Heck, even one of the touchdowns, I believe Hopkins was wide open. They didn't even throw the ball to him.
How about the one he was wide open? It looked like last week all over again. There was nobody within 15 yards of him. He's standing back there, and I'm thinking, oh, shoot, he's going to throw it over his head. But no, he caught it, and he just put both feet down in back of the end zone. And I saw, who was it? John Johnson III. Boy, we were excited about getting this guy, right? I'm having my doubts about John Johnson III
right now. I don't know if it's
now.
Him, Kenny. I think it might be Joe Woods. I think it might be some of the schemes on this defense. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You held that team 2 times in the first half on a 3rd down and long. They ran the ball up the middle. How long was that first one?
30-something yards.
Come on. Where's a linebacker? Where's your tackles?
Dude, this defense right now, think about it. They've played 3 good teams. They're 3-3, right?
Yeah.
They've played 3 good teams. Chiefs on opening day, Chargers last week, and yesterday the Cardinals. They're 0-3, giving up on average about 40 points a game to the good teams. Mm-hmm. They beat the crap teams, right? The Mills quarterback Texans and Justin Fields first start Bears, and I forget who the other crap team
Vikings.
Was. But they're Vikings. Okay, 3-3, and they haven't beaten anybody good yet. And you sit here and you go to yourself, well, those are the playoff teams that we're talking about. The Browns being a playoff
team.
A little
fair.
They can't beat them.
Be a little fair. If you're gonna consider Kansas City a good team, they're 3-3.
Yeah.
So are the Vikings. The Vikings at the time that we played
difference.
Them. No, it's not. The Vikings at the time we played them, they were averaging 29 points a game.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
they hadn't played anybody.
Neither is Kansas City. All I'm saying is
they have.
Who'd they play yesterday, Kenny?
Kansas City.
They played
the Washington
football teams. They haven't played anyone either. All I'm saying is this. If you're going to consider Kansas City a good team, and we both do, you have to give props to the Vikings as well. At 3-3, you got to give them at least 50% because they're 3-3. The other teams are sub 500, and you're right. Rookie quarterbacks are not that good. All I'm saying is this. If this team can't get through the adversity with these backups, they're going to have to come up with a different plan. And the plan's got to start at the top. Two things. Andrew Berry, go sign a tackle for crying out loud, for one. For two, Kevin Stefanski's got to coach him up a little bit better.
Oh, boy.
Ease this game up a little bit. Now you're going to have your third running back. I don't foresee Chubb playing this week. And for all intents and purposes, I don't want him to. They're too fragile. And I don't want to hear any of this crap about they didn't practice in the preseason or they didn't play it in preseason games either. Because guess what would have happened then? They'd have been hurt earlier, and you wouldn't be 3-3. So what you do is you play this game on Thursday on a short week, right? And you take all that time afterwards, and that's when you start the healing process.
But what if they sat Chubb out thinking they'd get him ready for Minnesota, though? I mean, now that you've lost Hunt, and by the way, it's a high ankle sprain, and that's the good news. JT, think about this. That's the good news that it's a high ankle sprain. I thought he tore his Achilles yesterday.
Yeah.
When that happened yesterday, I thought he ruptured his Achilles and he was done for the year. So getting the news today, and we'll hear from Kevin Stefanski coming up in a little bit, that it's only a high ankle sprain and he's going to be out, 3 to 6 weeks anywhere in that window? That's good news for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good news or not, because by the time he's either healthy enough to come back, they might be mathematically eliminated anyway. So what difference does it make? If you're going to take all 6 weeks, and a high ankle sprain is just a little bit away from a break, let's face it, that's not a great injury. And he's not the only one that's got one. Now you lose Owusu-Koramoah as well for almost the same amount of time. It's just amazing how these guys go down.
All right, let me correct myself here. My bad. Calf injury for Kareem Hunt, Lonnie Chisenhall, serious calf injury. The high ankle sprain was Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I got my injuries mixed up there because they were dropping like flies yesterday, okay?
Right.
So JOK's got the high ankle. You've got the calf strain or tear. We don't know. They didn't go into detail with Kareem Hunt. But either way, I thought Hunt was done with an Achilles. So I know it's not much to feel good about, but at least it's not a torn Achilles with Kareem Hunt.
I don't care what it is. Circle the date, October 31st. Forget about Denver and take 2.5 weeks to go get healthy. That's the next game. You face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and hopefully you'll be at around 500.
You'll be 3-4 if you lose to Denver going into that game, right?
So maybe you get the 500.
That game,
get the 500 if you can beat Pittsburgh.
On Halloween
night,
right? 31st, right. Yeah, so Kevin Stefanski, Joe Woods, both deserve some blame for yesterday's loss.
Of course they do.
In my opinion.
Team's not ready.
I look at that. I didn't think either coach put them in a good position to win. What's your job as a coach? To put my team in the best position to win. Kevin Stefanski didn't do that. Neither did Joe Woods yesterday. And granted, there are a lot of injuries. But, hey, they were missing their head coach. Didn't seem like they did, right? They missed their top defensive player, Chandler Jones. They still sacked Baker Mayfield 5 times, right? And answer me this, JT. You played the game on offense, and you know it more than I do from either the physical standpoint or the mental standpoint and a game planning standpoint. So you're minus your right tackle and your left tackle, so let's go empty backfield and throw the damn ball on every play. What the hell was that?
The only thing I can think of is every game, every play is a chess match. I'm going to try to beat you at something you may not be prepared for. But when it doesn't work, Kenny, you don't go back to it. It doesn't make any sense. Do you not have faith in your running game all of a sudden? Now because you don't have your tackles. I thought we had the best offensive line coach in all of football. These guys should be ready, or you shouldn't have put them there. This is on everybody. It's really not fair to go into this game, A, not prepared, and B, not up to snuff as far as talent is concerned. We consider this team to be very talented. We thought they had backups. We thought they had that next man up mentality. I didn't see it. Or they're just not prepared, Kenny. And you can make that argument, too. Dude gets out coached by a guy that's not even a head coach in the league. Now, you could probably go back and say the same thing happened when the Browns beat the Steelers in the playoff game. But that team was on a roll. I never knew momentum was such a big deal in the National Football League.
It's ginormous, obviously, and the Browns have none of it right now. First time under Kevin Stefanski that they've lost 2 games in a row, and they've been ugly losses. Yeah, they scored 42 points last week at San Diego. You think, oh, that's great. That's not a bad loss. Yeah, it was a bad loss. It's a game you should have won last week. Yesterday, you had no chance of winning that game with the way you prepared, played, executed, didn't execute, or whatever you want to say.
You remember I told you last week, it's amazing. For whatever reason, it seems like this team plays better on the road.
Yeah.
Now, if that's okay, I can't really – I don't understand why. And I'm not so sure I'm sold on the L.A. Chargers. I don't know if you saw the 1 o'clock game yesterday, maybe because they had to travel across country. Baltimore had their way with them. And I'm going to tell you something else. You aspire to be a playoff team, that sure as hell didn't look like one yesterday when you're the Cleveland Browns.
No, they were far from a playoff team yesterday. I mean, it wasn't even close on offense, on defense, or even special teams. Special teams didn't have any major blunders.
Special teams stink.
But they didn't do anything special to maybe change the momentum of the game or the field position or anything like that. So this team's got some soul searching to do after just six games in at 3-3 and a short week with a bunch of guys hurt, man.
It's ugly. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get you caught up to date on everything else you missed over the weekend.
Did you miss again? Here are the weekend headlines that you have missed.
This will make you feel better, Kenny.
What's that?
Number two, Iowa blown out at home over the weekend at Purdue. They lose 24-7, which means we reshape the AP top 10. Here we go. And number 10 in college football, Oregon, followed by Michigan State at 9, Oklahoma State at 8, Penn State back up at number 7. That team up north is at number 6. The Buckeyes didn't move into the top 4. I thought maybe they would. Ohio State at number 5, Alabama at 4, Oklahoma at 3, the Bearcats, Cincinnati holding firm at number 2, and your number 1 team this week, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, I watched some of their game. They are the best team right now in college football, Georgia. Cincinnati, highest ranking, I think, ever for them in football.
Good for them. Your man, Ed Orgeron, will not return as LSU's head coach next season. School's athletic director announced that yesterday. Sportsbetting.ag put these guys in the lead, if you're looking at it, as the LSU next head coach. Mark Stoops, Bill O'Brien, Jimbo Fisher, Billy Napier, Luke Fickle at plus 550. Lane Kiffin leads the way at plus 250.
One team, one heartbeat. Go Tigers.
I can't wait till he's out of there so you stop saying that. Urban Meyer got his first win of the NFL season last second 53-yard field goal yesterday. Jackson over Miami. And in England, another game in England, they win that game 23-20. Ends Jacksonville's 20-game losing streak. My question to you is this. When you watch those games in England and they show the crowd and those people have all that gear on, do you think the NFL gives them free jerseys to wear at those games?
No.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, when that Premier Soccer League comes over here, I don't know anybody that owns one of their jerseys.
No, those people are buying that gear, man. NFL merchandise. It's hot. That's why they want to move. Jacksonville's the team that's going to be the home team over there eventually.
When the Chargers beat the Raiders, they bought all the L.A. people Chargers gear because they didn't want too many Raider fans showing up. That's a true story.
Wow.
MLB baseball, if you missed it, Atlanta is taking care of business. The first two home games in the NLCS. Braves win both their home field games with walk-off wins. 3-2 Saturday, 5-4 on Sunday. And the American League Championship is tied at one game apiece. Red Sox beat the Astros 9-5 on Saturday. Game 3 shifts to Boston. First pitch tonight, 8:08.
Your cousin from Boston.
We'll be there.
At Fenway Park. It's going to be wicked awesome.
The preseason college hoops AP poll is out.
Okay.
We'll post it all up at WHBC.com. Your top 10 looks like this. Kentucky at 10, Duke at 9, Baylor at 8, Purdue at 7, Michigan at 6, Texas at 5, Villanova 4, Kansas 3, UCLA at 2, Gonzaga at number 1, the Ohio State Buckeyes all the way down at 17.
Interesting. Not a believer in the Buckeyes early on. All right. Got to earn it then.
I thought they'd be ranked a little bit higher preseason. Here's Brian now with the high school football scores from Friday night.
And our Sarshone Ford game of the night, a double overtime thriller as Lake beat Perry 28-27. Panthers in their fourth overtime game this year. They went for two on their second overtime, went for a two-point conversion. Lake defense held. They win. McKinley got a game from Glen Oak. 34-26, Pup survived. Jackson rolled over Central Catholic. 38-10. Hoover in the lead in the Federal League in the driver's seat. They beat Green 17-7. Maslin and a Laffer beat Worcester 31-0. Louisville got their first win of the year.
There you go, Ben.
Hey!
28-27 over Alliance. Caleb Miller with three touchdown passes. Salem held off Canton South 35-32. Marlington shot Carrollton 35-28.
Wow.
Oh, my. West Branch embarrassed Minerva 77-0.
Jeez.
West Branch wins the EBC outright already.
I think that game was 56-0 at halftime.
Yeah, gosh. Or something like that. Yeah.
I had it 80, minus 80.
Doggone it. Fairless lost their first game of the year. The Flock lose to Triway 37-13.
Kenny's a black cat, isn't
he?
Yeah,
you know.
You black cat, Kenny.
What do you mean? We did their first game in person. They won the game. I'm not a black
cat.
You
scheduled the interview last week, black cat.
It's probably.
No, they.
Go ahead, Kenny. Defend yourself.
No, I'm not a black cat. They got beat. They got another chance to clinch the Pac-7 this week.
Undefeated. Most wins in school history. Oh, let's do an interview with the Sarabaugh twins. Nice
job. We've had them on before this year, and they won.
Not the week of a game. What, nice job, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Broadcaster.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Kenny said nice things about the Northwest Indians. And they upset Manchester. Big win, 21-6.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
CBCA handled Tuslaw 36-6. Sandy Valley got shut out, Frank. Garraway beat them 28-0.
Nice job, Frank Salona.
Yeah, way to go, Frank.
Yeah, those Pirates are undefeated.
You stink, good team, Frank.
And
he's taking shot.
Wow. I did set it up, though. I did. So finally, East Canton beat Buckeye Trail 14-6. East Canton on a roll. It's going to come down to East Canton Malvern next week for the IBC North Championship.
My money's on Spider. Go get him, kid.
And
I'm not saying a word. That way I'm not the black cat.
Kenny, no, just Kenny, call him up. Let's interview him so they'll lose.
And I hate to say this, but St. Thomas Aquinas had to cancel another game due to low numbers. I don't know. Is that game against Central in jeopardy? We'll have to wait and see.
Who knows?
Next week.
Hey, and congratulations to Logan Brady. He is our Sarshon Ford Player of the Week, by the way, JT. He had an outstanding game helping Lake snap a three-game losing streak and was a big part of that defensive stand on the two-point conversion.
Yeah, and also before we go to break here, kudos to Kent McKinley, class of 1982. Kenny, they had a reunion for the 81 state championship football team. They introduced the entire team that was there. They did it Friday night at the Glen Oak game. McKinley wins the game 34-26. They all came back, had a reception. And, Kenny, it's amazing. We watched the game on all the televisions at Jerseys at Centennial Plaza afterwards. I got to tell you, man, that was a great team coached by Terry Forbes. And they win that game against Cincinnati Moeller. But I got to tell you, man, that Barry Larkin was a stud.
Dude's an athlete, isn't he?
Sid Lewis was here. And he ran like a 10 to 100-meter dash, right? He was a state champion at his pro day because he went on to play football at Penn State. At his pro day, when he played for the Jets, he ran a 4.28. Barry Larkin ran him down like he was in concrete. And he was hitting him so hard, it was unbelievable. I'm watching this with Worstel, and he's going, this is a great game. This is a great drive. We score here. But watch Larkin. Watch 34 when he hits Sid. And it was unbelievable. This guy, I can't believe that he didn't play football in college, but apparently Bo Schembechler asked him every year to come out for the football team. He turned him down because he was playing baseball, and we knew that ends up being the right decision. He plays 20 years, and he's in the Hall of Fame now.
Yes, he did make the right decision, and he was knocking lug nuts off and cracking concrete when he was in high school, though, wasn't he?
He was a stud, man, but he couldn't catch this guy. Kickoff cash word is flanker. Barry Larkin couldn't catch our flanker. That's why we win that game 13-0. Flanker, F-L-A-N-K-E-R. Go to WHBC.com. Submit that word for your chance to win $1,000.